This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Melissa Moretti.
And Melissa, on the program today, we have Nathan Armour, who is our team leader of our William Wright Commercial New West, soon to be
Tri-Cities
office. We're very excited. It's about a five-year delayed move. Yeah. We planned to do it well before COVID. And obviously COVID hit, things changed up. Some listeners may say, why are you moving the New West office into Tri-Cities? When we opened the New West office, originally it was more of like a test office for us. And New West necessarily didn't have to be the location for that test office. It worked out extremely well, proved out the concept. The plan was then to move it into the Tri-Cities because it could easily continue to serve New West, but also because so much of the business that that office does is in the Tri-Cities. We wanted to get into the epicenter of all that development and have boots on the ground there. Fast forward to 2024, we're now finally moving to the Tri-Cities. So we're excited there. So we have Nate on the program today. We're talking about the Tri-City market, all the tons of developments happening, what markets make up the Tri-City market. We talk about different asset classes, all of that good stuff there. So we're thrilled to have Nate on the program. Melissa, what's going on in your world?
What's going on in my world? Well, you know what? The residential market is feeling pretty strong.
Yeah. How's the inventory levels?
It's a little bit spotty. Inventory is still not great in some markets.
We're sitting here, we're recording this. It's March 1st.
March 1st, Friday. I can barely believe that.
Is this the time of year where you would typically would start to see inventory come on?
It's going to start, I think.
Is it not there yet?
In the coming weeks, I would say.
How is the inventory level today versus like last March 1st and the March 1st? Is the inventory level about average or are we down?
That's a good question. I would have to look specifically, but I don't think it's too different.
So we're trending normal. How are prices? Are you seeing like prices moving at all?
You know what? We're seeing in some cases like a good property that's priced well. You're seeing multiple offers for sure, but we're not really seeing things skyrocket in terms of pricing.
Like, is that just because interest rates are still too high?
So, yeah. People are not, you know, overshooting the way they were a couple years ago when things were really low. It was really easy for people to say, yeah, throw in another 50,000. Now it's not so easy.
50,000 is going to cost you a lot of money at prime at 7.2.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think there's a lot of optimism in terms of interest rates coming down. So you're seeing a lot more people deciding to come into the market. You know, we've had a lot of changes on the provincial government side with taxes and zoning and
short-term rentals.
A lot of big things. Yeah. Property transfer tax amount has changed. First-time buyer's exemption.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Which is fantastic news. Yeah, some good, some bad in terms of taxes, but.
Well, one episode that we're working on that we haven't got penciled in just yet, but we are working on it with a guest to talk about short-term rentals.
Okay.
Because I have my predictions of how that will impact certain markets.
Right.
So we're in the midst of confirming a guest that can come on and can tell us what their thoughts are from a very educated standpoint on the short-term rental impact in some markets, thinking like Kelowna and Victoria that has an abundance of them.
I think those will be the big markets that will be impacted.
It'll
be, in my mind, pretty well no impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you look at a market like Kelowna where there was tons of condos getting built and those condos were selling out, are those condos purchased by, you know, Vancouver mainland people that are buying them for investment maybe so much and not buying them as a long-term rental, but maybe looking at them on a short-term rental market?
Well, and I think some of those buildings have been exempt from the changes. It's just like a blanket statement for certain buildings that they're allowed to Airbnb.
We might have to get some more guests.
That was something that I heard back when all this was coming into play.
Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Because I think the short-term rental market will have an impact on the economics. Because this is one thing too, and I'm just going to throw out Kelowna because it's top of mind. Hypothetically, if there was 1,000 hotel rooms and say 2,000 Airbnbs. And now I eliminate those 2,000 Airbnbs and I have 1,000 hotel rooms. What is the price of those hotel rooms now when Kelowna is already a very expensive hotel market because it's just an awesome place to go?
Mm-hmm.
How does that impact those prices? How do those hotel prices impact the spending of the people going there if they're paying that much more for hotels? And do hypothetically those 2,000 short-term rentals that are no longer short-term rentals that you can make an educated guess. And for the purpose of this, we'll say all 2,000 are now tenanted by annual local rentals. Do those locals spend the same amount of money in the economy as someone coming up for 2 days? So how much does that impact the economic of a market that is driven by tourism?
Very interesting.
We're going to have to find this out. We're going to get to the bottom of it. So stay tuned. We're going to get to that. But without further ado, let's get to our interview today with Nathan Armour of our William Wright Commercial, soon to be Tri-Cities office.
All right, let's go.
Enjoy. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial. John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zenterra Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zenterra is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing, because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
All right, we're here today with Nathan Armour, the team leader of our new West, soon to be Tri-Cities, William Wright Commercial Office. Nate, how are you doing today?
Corey, I'm fantastic. Happy to be here.
Well, Nate, as I sort of said there just a second ago, we are thrilled that we are finally moving our new West office into the Tri-Cities market. This was about a five-year-old plan now, I feel like we had plans. When we opened a New West, it was a temporary test market at the time for us. The plan was always to relocate the New West office into the Tri-Cities, which is kind of becoming like, feels like the epicenter of development, which we'll talk about today in what's happening now in the Lower Mainland. Now that Burnaby's obviously off and going, is our plan to move that office into the Tri-Cities is finally coming to reality. And we're excited to say that we'll be in the Tri-Cities and open for this summer. We wanted to shed some light on that. You are the team leader of that office, which has done phenomenal. So tell us more about yourself for those listeners who don't know more, and then I'll let you talk more about the Tri-Cities after that. So Nate, tell us all about yourself.
My name is Nathan Armour. Was born and raised in Vancouver, British Columbia. 30 years old now, which is exciting because I keep hearing that the 30s is the new 20s. So I'm ready for that. My last name might sound familiar to those who grew up in Vancouver, especially if you were a BC Lions fan back in the 80s.
Yeah, tell us
my
more.
My father's name is Ned Armour. He was a wide receiver, wore the number 8. And in 1985, in the Grey Cup Championship game, number 8 scored 2 touchdowns.
Touchdowns for the BC Lions, Grey Cup champions. What year?
1985.
So now, Nate, were you semi-named after your dad because he wore number 8 as a BC Lion?
There's some correlation to that. So I just put an N and then an 8 beside my name and people call me Nate. It is true.
Awesome. Awesome. So to Mr. Armour out there, if he is listening, 1985, Grey Cup champion, 2 touchdowns for the BC Lion. Nate, we're just talking here, Tri-Cities, you lead that office there. in the new West there, which is obviously we're planning to move this into the Tri-Cities. That is becoming a reality there. For those who don't know about the massive amount of development coming into the Port Moody area, coming into the town center area of Coquitlam, can you maybe touch base a little bit on a high level to let us know what is going on in these markets?
Yeah, Corey, it's a great question. Ever since the Evergreen Line was introduced, the city of Coquitlam has been receiving applications from all the well-known developers in the community. So there's going to be a lot of density that's going to be hitting the city of Coquitlam in the next 10 years. Just for example, you got the Tri-City Central project by Marcon Quad Rail. That's where the old Chrysler dealership is there, right on Barnett and Low Heat. They have over 11 acres of, I think, a total of 9 towers that are going to be introduced. They got over 500,000 square feet of commercial space coming in. Mosaic Homes, they have their town and center project. That's going to be accumulating a total of 550 units. And just to go into further detail, this Coquitlam City Center, the mall, some master community plans that are coming there. Mogard is teamed up with B&H Architects. They have a total of 59 acres of mixed-use residential coming to the space. So that's over 3.1 million square feet. So there's going to be a lot of density that's going to be hitting the city of Coquitlam over the next 10 years.
So now, you know, the SkyTrain, obviously the Evergreen Line came in a while ago now. And I know when it first came in, there was a lot of emphasis that they thought that the office market would move out to the Tri-Cities and the Port Moody, and that would kind of spread out. That didn't happen initially. You know, I mean, the office market stayed downtown and there wasn't a lot of people moving out that way. Obviously now I feel like things have changed, especially post-COVID. People have sort of sprawled all over the Lower Mainland and all over the province for that matter. We have tons of density coming into this area. What is the commercial real estate realm like in Coquitlam, say, versus now versus what it was 10 years ago? Is there a demand for office now in that marketplace?
That's a great question, Corey. There is, in fact, a lot of demand. One office tower that was introduced by Cressy, which is called the Diagram. This was launching, I think they put the sales on almost 3 years, 4 years ago now. That was a 15-story office project that sold out within 6 months. Wow. And that's something that the city of Coquitlam hasn't seen. So like you said, the traditional work from downtown is no longer the normal, and people want to work closer to where they live. So that's why I think the city of Coquitlam is going to have a lot of attraction for people that want to come over there, live close to the trails, be with their family, but then not have to commute 30 minutes downtown. They have office towers that are going to be introduced into the city.
And I think that project there, and I'm going to throw a number out there and I could be wrong. I think it was like 58 strata lots or something like that they had to sell. And to kind of go through that type of inventory in that time frame, keeping in mind that was probably during COVID when it came on sale, or at least the latter part of COVID or something to that effect. I think it speaks volumes to that market that has that level of success selling out an office building with that many potential strata lots in a marketplace at that time. And maybe arguably today too, still, that there hasn't been the demand for office. I think that just speaks volumes to the pent-up demand in that particular marketplace. Can you talk maybe just a little bit about just where that is in proximity to Coquitlam Center for those who may not know?
Yes, this is right on Glen Drive. So you're less than a 5-minute walk to the Coquitlam City Center.
Just behind it there. I know one thing you touched on, I think earlier, was the Marcon project, which is the old Coquitlam Chrysler and Christmas tree site, which is the old keg, Christmas tree road or whatever it was, the old keg right behind it there. Now, I read some reports, and again, these good numbers may be overinflated, that they were putting almost 1 million square feet as part of that project alone, multi-towered there. Do you have any information on sort of how big that project is?
Well, the details that I was reviewing is that it's going to be a total of 9 towers.
Wow.
That they're going to be introducing. So that's, I think each tower is almost up to 60 stories too. So you're going to see a transformation with the amount of density going on that Lohi corridor as well. I think they have a total of 500,000 square feet of commercial space coming as well.
Wow, 500,000 square feet. Wow. Well, I think that it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out in kind of like a mini master plan community type of thing, probably retail. I'm guessing there's got to be some office components attached to that number there. Another thing that's obviously that falls in the Tri-Cities area there is the Port Moody. And obviously, You got the Port Moody. I think it's called, is it called the Ale Trail? Melissa, you might know. The Ale Trail, where all the breweries are in Port Moody.
No, I haven't.
No, this is where we need Matt or Adam. They would know there's beer involved. They would know if there's beer, if there's beer involved there. That seems to be changing and adding a lot of culture to that area. Now, I think when you fast forward now, at least earlier this year, there's been several applications. I think PCI, BD, maybe Anthem as well, seem like they're putting things forward now to council there on the development side of things, all with fall within that 400 meter radius of the SkyTrain / West Coast Express station there off of St. John's. Can you maybe touch base a little bit on the Port Moody transition?
Yeah, so the Port Moody is an area that I think everybody with a family would want to live in. And all these developers have noticed that, and they've made major applications to the city, like you've been saying. West Coast Express is there. It gets people downtown if they still don't want to take that drive and that commute. So you have the Edgar development, which is also another master plan community called the Portwood Project, now new named. They have 24 acres with over 2,000 units that are going to be delivered. They're on the other side. They're bringing in a total of 2,500 units as well. So
wow,
the amount of density is going to just be increasing all throughout Port Moody.
And then another thing I read too, and I don't know if this is something you might have information on, that BD has put forward an application for a couple towers along Electric there. I know Anthem has got some stuff along St. John's that they've gone forward with or trying to go forward to council. I saw another rendering, I think it was PCI, that had the site there just not too far from the SkyTrain station on St. John's. It had another couple of towers. So just quickly, I mean, in that St. John's West Coast Express SkyTrain station corridor there, including Electric Avenue, my math is right, I think I saw something like 8 to 9 different towers all kind of coming in with that few block radius there. And then I think Anthem has some stuff along St. John's on a smaller wood frame scale that they were also proposing, that I saw development applications up for it. So it seems like there's going to be a mass amount of density around that transit station there. Is there anything else in the Port Moody corridor, any other developing areas?
Well, Corey, you pretty much nailed all of them. You have all the big players that are coming in there, Anthem, BD, PCI. It's about a 23-acre site that they're going to be building on. So there is a massive amount of opportunity coming over into Port Moody.
And I know if you look at the backside there behind kind of like where the breweries are, Mosaic, Melissa, you might know this better than we do. Mosaic had a project there along, I can't remember where the street is, along the brewery row there that I think sold out like in like days. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the project was called. I think it was called Moody Park or something like that, or Park Moody or something like that. But I remember it sold out in days. And then you've got the Panache Group's project, which that stuff along Electric Avenue there on 50 Electric, I think it was, they had tons of success with their stuff. And they were kind of the first ones to the forefront there. And then as well as I see some more applications further down on Brewery Row there. But it seems like, how's the Port Moody Tri-Cities Coquitlam residential market? Because if I read correctly, I think in the down dark days of the market, like the Burke Mountain was the only place in Lower Mainland that actually saw an uptick in prices.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know specifically about the segments there, but I mean, it's always been a very vivid market in the last few years, especially with all the development happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that I was talking to someone too, there's that town and country development that Mosaic's doing there that you just touched base on. Apparently that's had a lot of success. And there's, I think, a 28 and a 26 story tower on top of 20 or 30,000 square feet of retail. But apparently they've had a lot of success with that project being launched as of late. And that's kind of not really in the dense part just yet, but it seems to be the first of its kind. And if stuff like that, I think it's a good indication, if stuff like that is moving and moving at a very, very high pace, that's just further emphasis on why that market is probably one of the top markets or one of the better markets in the Lower Mainland right now to get into these tri-cities.
Definitely. The livability of the quarry is next level. You got Rocky Point, the West Coast Express, trails all around you. It's one of the best areas to live in my opinion.
Now, Nate, we've talked a lot about development in the Tri-Cities area. Can you maybe touch base just on like the commercial real estate realm when it comes to the Tri-Cities market there? Industrial seems like it's always done really, really well out there. Retail, it lacks retail opportunities in most parts, and it seems that things move. Can you touch base a little bit maybe about different asset classes and how well that's done or not done as of late in the Tri-City markets?
Definitely. So like you touched on in the industrial sector, a lot of it is in Port Coquitlam. You got Broadway, Kingsway. They've seen lease rates continue to climb just like the rest of the industry. A the last transaction we did over there, we got a deal done in the high teens, escalating into the 20s. So landlords are still getting really good returns on their industrial sites. The vacancy over there is pretty much level with Vancouver, just with slightly lower prices. The retail market, there isn't a ton of inventory that's on the market right now, whether it's for lease or for sale. So when stuff does come up, if it's in a great location, landlords are seeing great returns, seeing lease rates right now advertising at a net of $40. The office market is an area that still has demand depending on the location and the class of the building. A lot of medical professionals are setting up shop in the Tri-Cities. I'm seeing a lot of inquiries for people that are looking to do physiotherapy clinics, but they just can't find the right location and the right type of space just because there's not a lot of inventory out there. So as these projects move forward and the density increases and new inventory is brought to the market, we're going to see a lot more small businesses getting open and operating there. It's going to be a really cool thing to see.
So if Nathan Armour has money and price point's not an option, but you have to invest in the Tri-Cities area, what is Nathan Armour buying?
I'm buying myself a nice strata unit that I can accommodate anywhere from 1,200 to 2,200 square feet of retail. I just know that that's kind of the pocket that a lot of these business owners can thrive in, because I don't want a tenant that's just surviving. I want to be able to collect my rent and be down in the south of France. So I'm definitely looking for strata retail in that square footage of about 1,200 to 2,200 square feet.
What type of lease rates would you see in something such as that nowadays?
Right now, the market's generating a net of $40 in the first year. And then you're seeing escalations go depending on the terms of the deal, whether I have to provide TI or some free rent, but I'm at least netting $40.
So one thing we haven't touched on just yet is the multifamily industry. Obviously, that's done really, really well during COVID. It's very stable and seems like it's continued to be stable. Yes, there's been price adjustments in that asset class, like all other asset classes. How's the multifamily stuff in the Tri-Cities there? To me, from what I see, it seems to be a very high demand area, but what are you seeing, like boots on the ground idea?
Boots on the ground, we're not seeing a lot of multifamily come onto the market just because a lot of these investors are in a really good position with very low vacancy. If they are getting tenants that are moving out, they're getting lease rates well above what they were currently generating before. So the multifamily market has been very safe in the Tri-Cities. There's not a ton of inventory that comes up, and we do see low vacancy rates compared to other areas of BC.
So now, one thing we haven't really touched on just yet is maybe Port Coquitlam, which is obviously touched base quickly on the industrial side of it there. But obviously, if I go out to like where the Costco is in Port Coquitlam, there's a ton of industrial development that's taken place back there that I think last I saw at one point, like prices were like $600 to $700 a foot. Now, again, that could be from previous months and those numbers may be down right now. But where's Port Coquitlam fall into the Tri-Cities fold? How is that market? What's good in that market? Why do I want to be in that market?
Well, the Port Coquitlam market is surrounded a lot by the development of new construction for industrial, just because that was the talk of the town. And we are seeing prices at around $600 a foot escalating to close to $7, just depending on how new the product is. But there is some major developments happening in the downtown of Port Coquitlam. Were you familiar with any of those, Corey? I remember we were chatting about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know on McAllister there. There was the fire that took place years ago that burnt down all that retail. That's coming back up in a big mixed-use project that I'm not sure what's happening with the retail component of that, but I know that's there. And I know the city of Port Coquitlam also too had assembled, I think it was 8 different sites just off of Shaughnessy there, then those recently have come to market for an RFP process. But I'll let you kind of take those notes and run with it and sort of provide more information.
For sure. Yeah. So we are seeing a lot of applications into the downtown core as well. A couple of investors that I've worked with, they picked up some freestanding buildings on Shaughnessy and they're waiting to assemble those. But we do see a lot of opportunity in the POCO market, but it is sector on the industrial side, I think, is where people are making a lot of their money. If they could find a nice stratified industrial bay, vacancy over there is at an all-time low and lease rates are climbing close to $8 to $20 a foot.
Now, one thing we always promote at William Wright Commercials, one thing that's important to us is when we kind of, you know, sort of continue to grow the brokerage in various markets within BC, for us, boots on the ground is really important. It's one thing if you're in downtown Vancouver, trying to go to the Lower Mainland or try to go out to the interior of the Vancouver Island to deal with product. Having boots on the ground in the fabric of that community is really, really important, not just from a company standpoint, but I think everyone in the company believes that as well. Nate, can you tell us the importance of why we want to be in that Tri-Cities market as an office space? Why not just have everyone from downtown Vancouver commute that way? What's the importance of us ending up in that market?
That's a great question. The importance of being in a market, especially if we're servicing landlords, is we want to be in the area with boots on the ground and have local knowledge of what's happening. It's very challenging to tell somebody what's happening in Coquitlam when I'm sitting in an office in Vancouver with my feet on the desk. But if I'm walking through the Coquitlam Center and I'm seeing all these applications come forward, I'm door knocking, I'm getting to know the tenants in the area, I'm understanding what the market is requiring, it's a lot easier for us to service these landlords or investors or even tenants who are looking to expand in the area if we know what's going on a day-to-day basis. So being in the area, having the relationships, and being able to be in front of these business owners and these landlords is where we benefit, instead of just having a centralized office with us just throwing darts on the wall trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, I think it even speaks to the quality, too, of the amount of developers and the developers' names that are acquiring land in that Tri-City market, just that that's where obviously there's a population trend is heading out there. Condo prices and housing prices seem to be still going up there. I know, I don't know what the benchmarks are, Melissa, you might know better than I do, but like, I couldn't imagine you could find a house in Coquitlam now for under $1 million.
No, absolutely not.
There you go. See, she looks at me like I'm an idiot. Yeah. So, but you know, again,
if you do, let me know.
Yeah. You and everybody else apparently. Yeah. So it definitely seems like it's a market that people are continuing to trend into. And then commercial real estate typically lags development. Developers buy land, they build houses. People move out to that area. Then now people in that area need jobs. And that's where we kind of come in on the backside with commercial real estate, supplying a lot of places for people to work and then also live on the multifamily side and the development land side of things. Well, so what are your thoughts on the Tri-Cities? You're on the forefront, obviously, the residential business, watching those stats.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Tri-Cities?
I mean, I think the fact that it's so transit oriented and it's kind of like the end of the train there, it's, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer in terms of development. It's a no-brainer in terms of, you know, buying a bit of property, because you can just see that you've got so many developers there that are investing in that area. It's very clear that it's a good bet, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Dave, I had a question for you just on the real estate front here. You're obviously in the forefront of sales and had a tremendous year last year as a broker, when most brokers unfortunately probably couldn't speak to that. Just the overall market wasn't what it was. Interest rates were very high. You clearly bucked that trend in your practice. What does 2024 look like for commercial real estate?
It's optimistic, Corey. There's a lot of people that have been sitting on the sidelines and there's a lot of pent-up demand. I'm seeing sellers getting more realistic with the terms of what the market is. I've actually got a unit under contract yesterday. It's a freestanding building down on Columbia that we've been marketing for close to 4 to 5 months now. And so I'm seeing traction on the properties that we have for sales. We're getting a lot more inquiries. And I think owner occupiers are starting to realize that, you know, renting isn't the best situation at all times. You can complain about how high the interest rates are, but when you're paying your rent, you're technically paying about 100% interest. So there's a lot more activity with people understanding what the market is now. And I think we're going to have some record-setting numbers on our side, especially moving up to the Tri-Cities, being able to service all those clients as well.
Bonus question time before we're almost, I have one sort of final question for you. Then we're going to go into our six pack of lighthearted questions. If you got a few more minutes with us, with regards to asset classes, obviously, like, I mean, we've been very bullish on this podcast that retail is kind of a good asset class if you're looking for investment stuff like that in the right markets in 2024. What investment class or what asset class would Nathan Armour be investing in 2024, and why?
I'm going after the retail market just because there is such a supply and demand issue. And I've noticed that when I'm either helping a landlord lease out a space, if it is in the right location and it's in a good size, we're getting multiple offers, we're getting a ton of interest, and we get to pick and choose what tenant we want instead of just seeing who comes to the door and getting into a relationship that we might not want to be in. So retail, one of the best asset classes to be purchasing in, just because you're in the control of who you want as the tenant and you're not just getting who comes to the door. I think second on my list would be industrial, light strata, industrial would be probably one of the better picks, just because of the demand for that type of product. You have movers, people that are distributing, you have makers, people that are in production, and they're constantly in need of space. So those are the two asset classes that I'm going to choose. And if you got any more questions for you, I'm here.
Well, Nate, before we let you go, you know how this whole thing works. You've been a guest on this podcast several times now. I appreciate taking the time out of your day to come talk to us all about the Tri-Cities. And we're thrilled and super excited to get that office finally into that market this summer, led by yourself there. Do you have a few more minutes for our six pack of questions before we let you go, Nate?
For sure. I'll send you the invoice.
All right, Nate, first question up here. You've unfortunately done something horribly wrong. You find yourself on death row, but you get one last meal before it's all said and done. What's the meal?
Oh, I'm going to go with a casado.
A casado. Okay.
Yeah. Casado is a dish that I had over in Costa Rica. It's a traditional dish. You got rice, beans, plantain, your choice of fish, steak. So I'd probably go with the fish model. Yeah, it's probably one of the best meals I've had in my life.
Melissa looks very impressed. I know you can't see her face here, but she looks very impressed with your pick. And I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever seen her face get that excited or that impressed when guests are picking their meal. Because like, I would just do like spaghetti from Boston Pizza.
I like the simplicity with the rice and the beans and a little bit of meat.
Yeah.
I would go with the beef, but you know.
Yeah, but still, he's on the right track. So you're
fresh
saying.
Fresh fish?
Yeah.
How can you go wrong?
Good. Yeah, good point. Good point.
Yeah. All right, next question. One book you would recommend our listeners read?
And before you pick that book, I'm gonna prelude to that. Nathan comes to the table at least once a week, if not every 2 weeks, with a new book recommendation. This guy powers through books. So I'm anxious to hear, Nate, what your recommendation is right now, knowing how many recommendations you throw out to the company.
And Nate, do you read these books or is this an Audible thing?
It's a great question. I'm actually an Audible during the day, but then I like to read before I go to bed. So I'm rocking out two books. Yeah.
Wow.
So
why he's speeding through them all.
I was always wondering why Costco still had that small little book section of paper books, but it's for people like Nate that actually read. Okay, there you go. All right. Nate, learn something new every day. All right, Nate, what's your book recommendation for our listeners?
Book recommendation. I'm going to go with, this is called The Master Key System by Charles F. Hanel. The book changed my life. It's just about mindset. And that's as much as I'm going to go into. It's a tough read. It was written way back in the day, but if you get through it, you're going to change your life.
Nate, can you say that title again one more time? What was the book called again?
The Master Key System. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to add that to my list. I can honestly say I've never heard of that book before, but based on your other recommendations, and I know you read a lot of stuff similar like I do, I am going to add that to my list.
You can't go wrong.
All right, next one up, and you might have already answered this a little bit with your death row meal. Favorite vacation spot when you find the time?
Well, how much time do I got? Is this like a 5-day or is this like a 2-week?
You tell us. If you could go on vacation, where is Nate and the Armor going on vacation?
Okay, so if I got 5 days, I'm doing a trip to Hawaii, probably going to land in Waikiki.
Oh, wow.
And then if I got 2 weeks, then I'm heading down to Costa Rica. It's worth the flight.
There you go. Okay, I figured we're going there after the recommendation of the food, the death row meal. All right.
All right, next question. Favorite band or musician?
Ooh.
I feel like this is going to be good. I have a good feeling about Nate and his recommendations.
He's independent, so he's not mainstream.
Is it a band from Vancouver by chance with four people that starts with an N?
No. Nobody
really listens to Nickelback unless for podcast.
All right. So if you're looking to hire Nate, you can reach out to me anytime.
I knew I liked Nate.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Nate's job position will be posted on Craigslist after this. All right. I had high hopes there for you, Nate, but unfortunately, it's not Nickelback, which is in BC Place April 19th. We'll let you say, who is your favorite band or artist?
Favorite artist, his name is Larry June. He's from San Francisco. He's motivational music. That's how I classify him.
Ooh, I'm going to check that out. Larry James, you said?
June.
Larry June.
Larry June. Like
Larry June.
All right.
Yeah. Larry June. And all right. I'll give you a question B, favorite band?
Favorite band,
maybe from Vancouver.
Oh, no.
I'm fishing.
What kind of kickback do you get from these Nickelback sales?
I want to know the same thing.
I get my nickel back.
Yeah, all right. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Dad jokes. Never get old.
All right. Next question up, Nate. You find yourself in Costa Rica. It's a great night. You've had a few beverages. You find yourself in a karaoke bar. What song are you singing?
Oh, Successful. It's by Drake and Trey Songz. That was like my anthem growing up as a kid.
Successful by Drake and Trey Songz?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that one before.
I've definitely heard that one.
Oh, Corey, that's got to be your anthem.
Successful?
We'll play it on the way out.
So now I'm taking like music recommendations from Nate. I'm taking book recommendations. Now I'm taking a song, a karaoke song recommendation. All right. Okay. Successful by Drake and Trey Songz. Like Trey as in T-R-A-Y.
E-Y.
E-Y.
Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah. Trey. Okay. Trey Songz. Okay. All right, Nate, last question up here for you. What's a piece of advice you'd give a commercial real estate investor in 2024?
Piece of advice to give a commercial real estate investor.
In 2024, all things considered in the market, what piece of advice would you give our listeners?
I'd say find someone to help you conduct your due diligence. Don't try and do it on your own. There's a lot of clients that I'm dealing with right now that made poor decisions before they met me. And that's not a plug to me. I'm just saying find somebody that can help you do your due diligence because you can buy bad properties.
So hire a well-educated and a very sophisticated and knowledgeable commercial real estate broker to help you with your acquisition is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like you can go on Instagram, search up Armor Nathan. That's a great one. But
there you go. So Nate, on that note there, how can our listeners get a hold of you to find out more about Nathan Armor, the Tri-City office, and all the exciting things in commercial real estate?
Yeah, that was my Instagram plug earlier. So you can follow me on there. Okay. Armor Nathan is the handle. And then as well, my cell phone number is 778-987-3055. Like Corey said, you miss a call, you miss a listing. So I'm always going to pick up or I'll get back to you shortly.
There you go. Oh, there, that's him. Yeah, Melissa's doing the Google search here.
I added you on Instagram.
She was adding you on Instagram and then she just sent me a photo. She's like, is this Nate? I'm like, that's Nate. There you go. Well, Nate, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Again, I know you guys are super busy out there. We'll let you go and go deal with all the different transactions you're working on. And thank you once again for all your time today.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Nate. Bye-bye. There you have it, folks. Our interview with Nathan Armor of William Wright Commercial, soon to be Tri-Cities.
Very exciting news.
Lots happening.
Yeah.
Like there's a ton happening in that Tri-Cities area, especially when you're talking about, you know, Poco's got some big developments going on and lots of density coming in there. You've got Coquitlam in the town center area, which is going to have, I'm going to throw mud at the wall and say probably like 20 plus towers, if not more, kind of coming in. And the amount of residency that's going to bring in, it's just going to change. Like I'll say it's going to change overnight, but it's going to change over a decade.
You know what's crazy is that probably a decade ago, the Tri-Cities was like the boonies.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. 100%.
Yeah. And now it's like, I mean, it's very transit oriented. There's so much development happening. It's
everything.
I have a lot of friends that if you can't afford to live in North Vancouver, which is where a lot of my friends want to be, they want to go to Port Moody.
So I lived in Port Moody in Newport Village.
Okay.
When I was like in my early 20s. And the joke was, it was like the Yaletown Training Center, where if you couldn't afford Yaletown, you ended up in Newport Village and it was like the Yaletown Training Center.
Wow.
But it's awesome. Like I live in Coquitlam, which I think I've said before on this show is, and to see all the massive development that's happening in Port Moody and the town center regions, like it's going to be massive. Like we're talking tens and tens and tens of thousands of new people coming into that Tri-City market over the next 5+ years. West Group's got that amazing project in Port Moody, that master plan. I think it's like 32 houses or something like that. They got assembled. That's set to go. You've got the city of Port Moody that had some lands there. They had the old fire station and the old works yard, which I know that was talk with some developers about getting that going and getting that those things moved and those properties developed. You got all the development happening up on Electric and St. John's. It's just going to be just, you know, I'm going to go on hundreds of thousands of people showing up in the Tri-Cities, which now we got to figure out how we're going to get all these people around with commuting because of all the density coming in. But it was great to have Nate on the show. We're excited about that office. His team's going to do a tremendous job there. It's a great market to invest in my opinion, because you can still get some good value on the commercial side, but you still have a long way to watch your rents go as this market continues to climb.
Love it.
There you go. So all those people who want to buy and sell commercial real estate, you're welcome to reach out to us at williamwright.ca. Sign up for the latest, greatest news. You can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca anytime. Or you can call our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. Let us know what market you're looking at, what asset class you're looking to acquire or lease in, and we'll put you in touch with the best agent throughout the province to help you with that. And Melissa, for all those people who want to buy and sell residential,
yeah,
how can they get a hold of you?
You can call me, 778-869-4477, or send me an email at melissa@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
All right, there you go, folks. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another great episode.
All right, see you later.
Subscribe today.